it out and put it in the offering plate when it goes by. This is really helpful for us and our ministry to you, so please be sure to always fill that out. If you are here for the first time, we're especially glad you're here, and we have a gift for you out there in the narthex on the table, so please be sure to grab that as well. There will be some other good information on there, including these Sunlight Youth Choir and Band Spirit Night at Sunny's Barbecue. Long, that was long. Card there. So please grab one of those, and then you'll be able to help out Sunlight on January 26th by going there and presenting this card. A couple other quick things. The blood drive, there's a blood drive today, so the truck is out there, the bus is out there. If you're able to do that, please do that. FPU started this past week, Financial Peace University, but you're still able to join at this point. Invitation to Genesis, a new course, starts tonight. There's also sign-ups for that and FPU in a table back there. The marriage course is also starting up this coming month, and there's a table back there. You see that nice dinner set table over there. That's what that's about, and there's more information over there. It's a promotional video. So check that out, maybe for yourself or for others you might know. Two more things. This Tuesday, a mindfulness meditation 8-week course begins. Has anyone heard of mindfulness meditation? It's been on the news lately. Can be really helpful for some things. So we're offering a course. Dr. Randy Sherwood will be facilitating that. Check that out if you're interested. And the disability study will continue this Wednesday. Had a really good start this past Wednesday. We're excited about it. So be sure to join that if you would like. Our mission box for this morning is Solomon's Porch, and we have Lloyd and Melanie Monroe here to tell us more about it.
Thank you, Esther. Good morning. I'm Lloyd Monroe.
I'm Melanie. Good morning.
And we founded Porch Day Solomon Ministries 10 years ago. We're up in Guatemala. We're up on furlough now, getting ready to return in about 10 days. I was a civil trial lawyer. None of you know where Joaquina, Florida is, but it's in Jefferson County, just outside Tallahassee. We're sixth-generation North Floridians. And I was a civil trial lawyer representing defendants in civil law cases for a lot of years. We got a call in to do this, and we became full-time volunteer missionaries in Panajachel, Guatemala, which is just south of Mexico. Guatemala is a banana republic in a lot of ways that was wrecked and racked by a civil war that lasted 36 years. We suffer from the world's fourth worst chronic malnutrition rate, and we have a lot of infrastructure problems in the country. There's 23 indigenous languages there. We have the highest Mayan representation in Central America. We do a lot of different things like Don Quixote, Porch de Solomon, charges off in all directions at once. We hosted 29 short-term mission teams last year, including a team from Trinity United Methodist Church, Gainesville. We do year-round humanitarian relief. Even when we're here, our local team is working down there, and we're going to tell you a bit about that. We have our Solomon Porch Cafe, live music outreach, and then we want to help churches transform. And Aaron's ministry talked about transform. Where we can, Romans, and Aaron's what?
Message.
And Aaron's message. Romans 12, transportation, transformation. A big part of what we do is build houses. Our teams build houses. This is Cecilia Vicente, an abandoned single mother in front of her shack house, and then with the transformation in their life, the new house. One of our teams last year, again, was from this church. There's Yvonne, and I call that photo Rambo Ralph. It's a great photo that someone took. And these teams build houses under indigenous supervision. That's our top foreman, Leonel. He's one of the 11 or 14, I think it's 14 now, indigenous builders that we have that have their jobs because Porch de Solomon is building houses. Praise be to God. Next slide. Some of our teams do medical or dental clinics in the villages, including our team from Tennessee did medical clinics in the Boca Costa. Next slide, please. Again, year-round humanitarian relief, including food to combat that world's fourth worst chronic malnutrition rate. They need protein. This is Tomas's family. They're getting eggs and beans and milk.
What do
through many different kinds of surgeries. Cleft palates are a very big one, and this is amaryllis. This is amaryllis before her surgery and amaryllis after her surgery, and that's a real blessing to these kids.
Next slide. Clean water and good clothes are part of our program down there. Next slide, please. If you don't have money, you don't go to school, or you don't go very far in school, so we have a school scholarship program. Their year runs from January to October. To earn $40 a year, sends a child like Anna to school. Next slide. And also, we're involved in helping alcoholics and addicts recover and then giving them work. This is Rudy and Jonathan, two of our workers who work with us building houses. We're almost done. Solomon's Porch Cafe, again, we're in the world. Number 4 hippie travel destination, Pana Hotel, Guatemala, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it, 2 feet pictures from walking to Florida, ministering to people from all around the world with our cafe, and then with the Hotel California, a very small hotel above it, where if you come down on a team, you will stay at the Hotel California. We will let you check out and we'll let you leave. We had to get rid of Ralph. No. We have a weekly worship gathering, a church service on Sunday afternoon, and live music outreach, which translates into us playing in rock and roll bands, and Melanie having more fun than a nice Christian lady could have at a school fundraiser. Thank you, Trinity, for partnering with us. We appreciate that. We need your invite your support. We have a table outside. We'd be happy to sign you up, answer your questions, and tell you more of our story. Once again, Lucas, gracias.
Just say thank you for this opportunity, and we have little handmade bracelets for my indigenous friends that we'd like for the kids to come back and get them. Thank you. And you too.
And I've heard, over the years, I've heard great things about this ministry. So if you would like to give to Solomon's Porch, the mission boxes are those wooden boxes located on the way out in the exit. Well, we're glad that you're here, and to prepare ourselves for why we're here and to worship, let us join in the tradition that we have here. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let's worship together. Thank you.
know y'all are jealous. I've got the best seat in the house up here. Would you stand and join me as we begin our worship together?
Thank you.
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated.
Thank you, that's true. We sit together Sunday with a four-day weekend, and we invite all the children. Children, I want you to meet a couple of my friends. All the children, would you hurry on up here and sit with me, and I'll give a real quick children's set. Children, come forward. I would love to. Yeah. I'll be awful lonely up here if you don't come up. Come on up. While you're coming up, everybody, it's kind of neat to have the old guys back for the Sunlight Band. Bill Barnard. Brad, and Steve Bingham. Good to have you guys here. Hey, have a seat here, everybody. Nice to see you. Well, yeah, you guys got a four-day weekend, don't you? Tomorrow is Monday. You got a three-day weekend? Oh, okay. You didn't have Friday off? No. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King's birthday celebration, but I want to introduce you to two important guys here. This is John Wesley. John Wesley. We've been learning about people who influenced the Methodist Church. In fact, they really started the Methodist Church a long time ago over in a country called England. So here's John Wesley. And what do you see on John Wesley's chest? A gator. Yeah. How about that? A Florida gator. I don't know quite how that happened. Yeah. What's that? Patriots? You guys are too quick for me. All right. Now, John had a brother named Charles. And Anna's going to talk a little bit more about them. Their mother had a lot of children. I think she said 19 children. Wow. That's almost how many there were here. But Charles, John was the preacher. John was the guy who rode on horseback all around England. But Charles was the guy who, let me see if I can get him to sing. He wrote 6,000 songs. Many of the songs we sing. In fact, the opening song we sang, Love Divine, Oh Love This Show. That was one of his songs. And then there's another song. I don't know if it'll play up. Can you hear it out there? And let me sing it for you. You shook her head over there. And can it be that I should gain? Charles is the elder brother. He's a poet. He's deaf. Do you want to tell me something? You have a question. Wait a minute. Look. When I said that prayer thing, what does that mean? Were you talking about the patriot thing or the prayer thing? The Patriot thing. I think he's talking about the football game this afternoon, I think. Were you? All right, this children's set is going far awry here. Anyway, take it from me, John and Charles Wesley were a big deal. And we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for them. And that may be the most. We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for them. And they wouldn't be here if it weren't for their mother in many, many ways. And Aaron's going to tell you about it. Listen, you're closer to Aaron's. And I don't think he brings the Patriots in, but okay, would you pray with me? God, we thank you for these children. We do thank you for John and Charles Wesley and their impact on us and their sense of God's amazing love. I think one of the strongest God's amazing love for every one of us. And especially for these children. Bless them today and forever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can head back to your seat. What's that? Football enthusiast there. Yeah. last week I gave out a couple of eight helps to faithful discipleship. We had a few left, and they're on these front tables here when you come up for communion. You can have one if you'd like, and we'll make some more because I see they're almost all out. Oh, here you go. You okay? Yeah. That's okay. We have some exciting news. Four of our folks are going to Cuba. Going to Cuba this Wednesday. John Newsom, Esther Rodriguez, Sandra Mayo, and Paul Doring. So our prayers are with you guys. Let me pray your blessings upon you. Also, we have a Living Water trip to El Salvador. This is in partnership with Stepping Stones, and we celebrate that. And one other thing, I hope all you men are going to come to the men's retreat. It's going to be really, really good. January 31st, the last Saturday of the month. Watch for the Tuesday Word for more information and sign up and come to that. It's just all morning. I know there's a basketball game from 1 or 1:30. We'll get you out and get one of the Sunday school classes to take hamburgers. You can take one with you on the way. Now we have the joy of having new members join the church. So would you all come to the front and we'll have the joy of welcoming you into the life of the church. Last service, Dr. Orvin Jenkins and his wife, Lucy, joined the church. If some of you know them, give them a greeting. Just stand there and turn the face to the congregation. And Russell Crowder. Russell, I met, comes to our Wednesday morning Bible study, and he's an outstanding photographer and takes pictures and can help us do some things like that. Russ, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And I'm not being impressed. Eleanor Buchanan is a member of my very close friend Jim Harnish, church in Tampa. Jim was the pastor at her church. And we moved up here and we're thrilled that he's decided to become a part of our church. Would you like to say anything? Okay. And Lenny and Julie Craig, tell us just a brief word about you. Who wants to say that? Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot. But that's all right. Go ahead. She's our beautiful children, Logan and Madison. I'm going to have a conversation. Oh, you do? Okay. Terrific. Welcome. We're glad to find Trinity and we're glad you're here. We all acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. We promise that God gives us strength and grace to lead life of our people in God. And we support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. God, we thank you for these wonderful people, and as they join hands with us and we with them, that the Church of Jesus Christ might be strengthened, that we might do your will here and around the world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the congregation will respond. We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, devoting to making a difference in the world. If you stand and turn to people you may not have come to church with and say, what a wonderful day, and welcome these persons as they come back to their seats. Good to have you here.
Question.
I love the sound of you all greeting each other. It's lovely. But I needed to stop. We're going to have our time of prayer at this time, so we want to remember those folks who are in the hospital and in rehab. We pray for a lot of folks that are on our list, and prayer is very important to them. It carries them. I know prayers have carried me in difficult times, and so let us keep these folks in our hearts and prayers, and let us join together and pray. God, God, we give you thanks for another day of life, for the blessing that that is. God, thank you for being the God that you are. We are in this place. I know I'm in this place because I've come to know you as a God who longs to be in a relationship. A God who longs to see me live my life to the fullest. He longs to see me filled with peace and awareness of your love for me. And God, I pray that for everyone here, that we may all experience your love and in your peace, in the good and in the bad. So God, we acknowledge that with all of the joyful things that we have, the Thanksgiving, God, thank you for these children that are gathered here today, for their lives. God, so many things, but there are also a lot of tough situations, a lot of difficult things. God, the world is scary and it's ominous and it's sometimes depressing. God, that helps to say that we need you. And so, God, we lift up to you all of these things going around in the world. For the folks of Nigeria, for the folks in France, for the folks in this country, we celebrate and remember Martin Luther King Jr., God, for the many ways that we still have to work on that dream that has not been fulfilled fully. God, we pray that you move, Holy Spirit, in this life, that you move in this church, that you speak words for us, that you want for us. And God, through this blessing of offering, we give you thanks. We pray that you use it in powerful ways. And God, we would pray all of these things in Jesus' name. You taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Divine kingdom and power and glory. We will usher come forward and collect the offering.
Question. Written by Paul McCartney for the Beatles, Let It Be was inspired by a dream the singer had of his deceased mother Mary, assuring him amongst the turmoil of the Beatles' slow breakup that everything would be okay. McCartney eventually transformed the song into a gospel style. I decided on this historic song by the Beatles because the lyrics can cross into the sacred realm to its message, everything will be all right. There's a higher authority in control of our lives. So you need to relax in times of trouble and listen to Mother Mary as she speaks to us and will be an answer for all the trouble and strife in the world, so let it be. When I was very ill in the hospital, I had no choice but to let it be and believe that everything would be all right. Through the power of prayer from the members of this church and the people outside of this church, I'm alive today and practicing the words of this particular song. Playing guitar today is my brother, Bill Barnard, who was a guitarist for Sunlight for 5 years under DJ Head. Keyboardist brother, Brad Bankstead, another six-year performer under DJ Sunlight. And then my own blood brother, Eric, John Eric, on drums. And the four of us played in a blues band called Sixth Street Rhythm and Blues Review for many, many years. So this is kind of a reunion for us. So, joining us for lead vocals today is Miss Alice Wallace. We hope you enjoy this.
Words of wisdom, let it be. And in my
Sermon that I'm going to be bringing here this morning was one that I struggled with a great deal, but I feel better about it now having watched Dan and Silver Smoke. So I think I got the better end of the deal this morning. We're going to be talking about John Wesley. The sermon series we're doing is directly based a little bit in part on Adam Hamilton's book, Revival. I encourage you to read it. It's a really, really good read. We're going to be talking this morning in particular about a moment that transformed John's heart and changed his life and his ministry forever. Before we get to that, I want to take a moment to read the scripture that we have this morning from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand preaching, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know the trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I just love that. You know, I need some help this morning. Please take a measurement from my mind to my heart. Just guess where they are. My mind is here. My heart is still there. It doesn't matter. You know, T.S. Eliot once said that the mind and the heart have the shortest distance but the longest journey. Oh, I heard an audible response to that. The mind and the heart have the shortest distance but the longest journey. If John Wesley had been, or if T.S. Eliot, rather, had been alive during John Wesley's day or vice versa, John would have agreed with that, as do I, and maybe by the response to this morning, as do many of you. I'm going to give you some key facts about John Wesley's life before we get into the heart of the matter this morning. He was born in 1703 to Samuel, who was a priest in Epworth, England.
and Susanna, who was what I call a spiritual powerhouse. As Dan said in his children's moment, she did bear 19 children, 9 of which lived beyond infancy, and she homeschooled every single one of them for 6 hours a day, and on Sunday evenings would give a family devotion. Now, one time, Samuel was away on business in London, leaving behind an associate preacher to handle the church in Epworth, and the congregation found this associate preacher to be so boring that they requested to go to the Wesley's home to hear Susanna's devotion instead of having to go to church in the morning to hear the associate pastor preach. Some of you may be relieved to know that my wife, Lenora, does read a devotion in our home on Sunday evenings. So then that you know where I'm going with this. The next time you see an associate preacher, namely me, on the calendar to preach, I'm sure she would see you into our living room. But in all seriousness, Susanna Wesley is often quoted as or known as the mother of Methodism, and for good reason, because were it not for the prayers and faith of Susanna Wesley, it's unlikely that we would be worshiping in the Methodist church this morning. She really was the mother of Methodism. Now, John Wesley was homeschooled by Susanna until 1714. He was 10, 11 years old, and he left for the Charterhouse School in London, where he continued his education. And then in 1720, he went to Oxford, where he got his bachelor's and his master's degree. And then in 1726, he was elected as a fellow at Oxford, where he taught Greek and lectured on the New Testament. So I tell you all of this because at the age of 25, in 1728, John Wesley was ordained a priest in the Church of England. He had spent his whole life in the pursuit of the knowledge of God for his full and robust faith. But even at 25, a priest who spent his whole life studying God, he felt like something was missing. He felt like something was missing. In 1735, he left England to go to Savannah, Georgia, where he was going to serve as the clergy for the colony there and also hoped to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ to convert the Indians. Now, I tell you that because the transatlantic journey that he made across the ocean to do this mission tested his faith more than once. And this is where we pick up this story, 1735. So October 1735 is when he boards this vessel, and as you might imagine, the trip was not an easy one. They encountered storms the entire way over. Now, before he even got on this ship, Wesley had a fear of the sea. So when they hit these storms in a rickety 1700 sail vessel, you can imagine that it was terrifying. And he was terrified and wrote several times in his journal, chastised himself for being unwilling to die. He was afraid to die and for having no faith. He chastised himself for having no faith. Then the climax of these storms happened. And then what Wesley observed during this one particular storm inspired him to look beyond his intellect, beyond the discipline nature of his upbringing, his works-oriented faith, to begin searching for this inner assurance that he longed for but did not have. So traveling with them was a group of Germans. They were German Christians from the Moravian Church, and during this particular storm, before it began, they had started having a worship service. And so he writes in his journal, on Sunday, January 26, 1736, in the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the breakers had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly kids sitting here terrified. They're going to die. And women Christians are singing. The storm damaged the ship so bad that had they not been so close to Georgia, they likely would not have made it. And Leslie longed to know, how was it that there was this terrible screaming among the English and the Germans calmly sunk off? How was it that they were so assured of their salvation that they weren't afraid to die? He ended up asking one of the Moravian pastors for advice and wrote in his journal about his stay on September Saturday, February 7th. Hope he has died to save you. He only added, do you know Christ? I said, I do, but I fear they will say words. Wesley's wrestling continued for more than 2 years. On top of his fear through the storm to sea, Wesley deemed his mission of Georgia a complete and utter failure. He really was. Returned to England in December 1737. When he did, he was depressed, he was beaten down, and he was questioning his ministry. He wrote in his journal, Tuesday, January 24, 1738, I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? Who? What is he that will deliver me from this evil heart of mischief? I have a fair summer religion. You know, interesting. I have a fair summer religion. I can talk well, nay, and believe myself while no danger is near, but let death look me in the face and my spirit is troubled. Back in England, Leslie again turned to a Moravian pastor, Peter Bowler, for advice when he began feeling like he should give up his. This journal entry includes Bowler's wise and oft-quoted advice that may sound familiar to some of you. Saturday, March 4, 1738. Immediately it struck into my mind, leave off preaching. How can you preach to others who have not faith in Christ? I asked Bowler whether he thought I could leave it off or not. He answered, by no means. I asked, but what can I do? And these are the famous words. Preach faith till you have it, and then, because you have it, you will preach faith. Preach faith till you have it, and then, because you have it, you will preach faith. Now, I wonder, before moving on to the rest of the story, how many of you here knew this about John Wesley? This man who considered the very world his parish and had such a strong passion for spreading the gospel message of Jesus. How many of you can relate? How many of you have had life experiences where you have struggled and had doubts about your faith? I'm hoping just about everybody in the world relates to that. Because it is the same. Okay. Thanks be to God that by and through God's grace we first reveal through those things that count. Like Wesley was told by Peter Bowler, to preach faith until you have faith, we too continue to put one foot in front of the other on this journey that we call life, walking by faith, especially when the fear of faith may be lost, so we have faith. We walk by faith until we have faith. So now the rest of the story, and it perhaps may be one of the best known stories I have a clip here from a movie called Wesley about his life to help tell.
to judge other people. That is why faith alone makes someone just and fulfills the law. Faith it is that brings the Holy Spirit through the merits of Christ. The Spirit, in turn, renders the heart glad and free, as the law demands. Then good works proceed from faith itself.
My heart sinks in it.
Oh, I have been dead.
Just standing around this only day, I've got our all.
You have not fired a slave redeemed from death and sin, a brand brought from eternal fire. How shall I equal thy great, O King, my great,
and ever so this movie was written from the journals of John and Charles Wesley, who were pictured there in that scene. And the scene comes from this journal entry, which was written on May 24th, Wednesday in 1738, so 3 years into this struggle, this faith struggle that Wesley has been having. In the Methodist Church, we call May 24th All These Days, and you'll know why when I read the journal. And he said, in the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the things that God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. So finally, after years of struggle and doubt, Wesley felt assured of his salvation, and his heart was strangely warm. Glad and free. The subtitle of the movie is A Heart Transformed and Changed the World, and indeed that is exactly what John Wesley did. Possessing now what he so longed for, a faith of both head and heart, like his Moravian friend, Wesley's tireless and courageous preaching of God's love, grace, and acceptance for every person. A revival across England and eventually to the colonies of America. So it is a fitting thing, and in no way a coincidence this morning, that what I call my own Aldersgate experience happened 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today, my mom died from a very cancer. It is far too long a story for me to share in here this morning, but I will tell you this. Just like we can say with confidence that the Methodist Church likely would not exist were it not for the strictness and faith of Susanna Wesley, I can tell you I would not be standing here this morning and one of you happy were it not for faith and prayer in my mind. This night, for today, I have been wrestling for years, as you might imagine.
prayed with her. She hadn't been conscious for 2 weeks. I prayed with her, and something happened. Something changed. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, but I left the room. You, John Wesley's own words that he wrote in his journal about when his mother Suzanne was on her deathbed. I left my mother lying there on the borders of the church and went into the next room and sat in front of the fireplace, and for the first time in 2 years, I actually felt like I was truly afraid. It wasn't just, you know, agonizing, God, where are you, why are you doing this, all of those things, the lamenting that we are allowed to do, but the prayer of a contrite heart that just knew finally God was in control. And in that moment, I felt my heart say to be warm. It might have been the fireplace, but I don't think so, because I felt an assurance for the first time in years that I had been longing to have. And no matter how much I was going to grieve, and I did, no matter how much I was going to miss my mom, I do. But everything would be okay. Everything would be all right. So that is part of my story. That is part of John Wesley's story. And I don't know how many of you are here this morning, but there are a few hundred different stories in this story. God's desire is to warm and transform all of us. To warm and transform all of our hearts. And when we allow God to do that, we really can change the world. I know that is a big statement. Some of you might not believe it about yourself, but it is true. And it might be simpler than you think. And I'm going to give you a quote from one of my favorite Christian artists, David Crowder. As a way to give you some imagination of what that might look like. He says, as Christians, our way of life should be so compelling and mysterious and other than that people see us coming from a long way off, and it stops them in their tracks, and they wait and watch just to see our exchanges and wonder at this life that has been chosen and how to put it on and what is this deeper, truer way. John Wesley was certainly compelled by the other-than nature of his Moravian friends and their deeper, truer way of living. And it set him on a course that God uses to teach John Wesley's life and the world forever. And so I pray it be so for us. If you're sitting here this morning in need of God's assurance, be encouraged. Keep walking. Walk by faith. One foot in front of the other. If you're here this morning and you feel assured of God's love and acceptance, then I invite you to examine how is your life compelling in other ways. Either way, no matter where you are, there, somewhere in between, there's good news for all of us here this morning, and the good news is this. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. All that we need for a deeper, truer way of living is right here. It's right here. And it's right here. I'd like to invite him to help us first meeting to keep coming forward now. On the night he was saved, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God for the bread, broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Hey, please, all of you, this is my body." And then when supper was over, as was part of the custom, he took the cup, again gave thanks to God, offered it to his friends, and said, "Hey, drink, all of you, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me." So let us pray God, we pray that you again pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, they can be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood for all the world. Pour out your love into our hearts so that we might go into the world living other than compelling lives that attract people to you, that help people know of your love, of your acceptance, of your salvation. Help us to become more fully the people you are calling us to be, become more fully the church you need us to be in this life. That all of these things will be. This is an open table. You all are invited to come and talk to the Spirit. To come, the table is set, all is ready.
Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his face up to you.
Amen.